What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode number 36 of the Fear Being Average podcast, health, fitness, and performance series with your host, Brandon Rinke. And on today's episode, we take a look at fitness hacks to stay consistent. So this is a very cool topic to get into as we're looking at biohacks that we can engage in that we have to spend less mental energy towards to actually stay consistent within this health and fitness space. That way, you are more likely to engage in this process and get all the benefits that come along with strengthening your body in the gym with exercise and eating healthy. Like always, guys, be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Rate the podcast 4 or 5 stars. If there's a 10-star option, give it 10 stars. And of course, share this podcast with people that would benefit from hearing it. Like always, guys, have a great rest of your day and enjoy today's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to our podcast today, and I am excited for this one, like always. But the big reason I'm excited for this one is that we're talking about hacks, so fitness hacks to stay consistent. And the reason I like this topic is it almost seems and feels like we're going to put this trick in place to get people better results. And I like that idea because unlike myself, who's someone I'm very self-motivated in terms of fitness, especially. I love the gym. It is a place of serenity and peace for me. And it's my happy place, right? So you don't have to convince me to go to the gym and take care of my body and mind. For some people, it's not quite like that. They have a hard time, you know, compartmentalizing the idea of working out and exercising for their benefit. So these hacks are just little ways that we can implement strategies that are going to get you to your goal faster and more efficiently without you really thinking you're putting in more work. So even though the work is still being put in, if you can switch up the perspective, like you're putting in less work and you're making the job of being consistent easier, then we're really doing ourselves a good service because, again, we're allowing ourselves to get an optimal result without being overwhelmed by the process, which is where a lot of people get in trouble, right? They get overwhelmed or demotivated behind how long something's going to take, how much work they have to put in, how far behind they are, how weak they are in the current moment. And it feels like they're going up this, massive mountain carrying a stone. It's like they can't see the top of the mountain and the weight's just too heavy on them. So naturally they drop off the process. So this is a good way that we can add in strategies that make fitness and health more fun, more engaging, and easier to stick to. So this is why I like sometimes putting in hacks, and these tricks aren't anything that are game-changing in terms of, we're really having to manipulate it. It's just, directing our focus in new ways and seeing fitness and health from a different vantage point and different perspective. So let's kind of get into this. We don't have to do a whole bunch, a whole long introduction here. We can kind of jump right into the 6 things we're going to cover today. So off the bat, what are one of the hacks we can use to stay consistent? Well, we can train at the time of day that we feel best. Train at the same time would probably be a good nice little hack too, but this in particular is train at this time of day where you feel your best. Now, obviously this kind of sounds obvious, right? This kind of sounds like a no-brainer. Well, I feel best at this point. That's probably when I should work out. And ideally your schedule affords you the ability to do that. And the reason I bring this topic up is, with studies and with research out there, we can really get swept up in the weeds of what's better for us. So let me give you an example. Let's say there is a 10% increase in fat oxidization by doing cardio in the morning. So you say, okay, I read this article, I read this study, and now I know, hey, if I work out and train my body in the morning, I am going to oxidize fat 10% more. Okay, so that there's a better indication, a better result by training in the morning. Now, let's say you hate training in the morning though. Does that result that you would get by training in the morning outweigh the idea that you hate working out in the morning? No, because if you hate working out in the morning, you're not going to stay consistent. So I don't care if there's a 10% increase, a 20% increase. I really don't care because I want you to do the thing that's going to keep you consistent more often, right? So if you love the idea of finishing your workday and going to the gym. There's this trigger of, you know, jumping your car and you drive past the gym, so it's nice and easy, and you're going to be far more consistent working out with that pattern. I could care less about where the best results, quote unquote, are compared to morning and evening. So that's just an example of it. So when you feel really good, that's when you should train. Now, the only time this changes up is if, well, the only time we have to train is in the morning because our whole day is packed and we need to be home to cook dinner for the family, we need to connect with our partner, and we just don't have time to train in the evening. Well, I don't care if, you know, you feel best at 6 p.m. If you can't make that happen, well, then we got to just obviously train when you have open time. But when you have the opportunity to kind of mix around your schedule, don't worry about what the research says, because now we're splitting hairs, right? I want you to engage in exercise and working out when you feel the best, right? When you feel like you have energy, when you feel motivated, when you feel strong, that's the best time of day to work out, okay? Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Work out when your body and your mind feels the best, because that is going to elicit the best results. It's going to elicit greater consistency. It's going to afford better performance. So you're going to get more out of your workout. You're not going to be dragging your body through the workout and giving a half-ass effort. So that is an easy little hack, right? And I had a conversation with clients recently, hence why I brought this up, because they asked me about that. They asked me about morning or evening, and then there's also discussion about, you know, elliptical or treadmill. Same thing. Well, what do you prefer doing? I don't care if the elliptical is going to get you 10% better results than the treadmill. I don't know if this is the case. I'm just using it as an example. Say that was the case, but you hate the elliptical and you love the treadmill, or you don't mind the treadmill. Well, then let's go on the treadmill, right? Because if you're going to be more likely to jump on the treadmill because you don't mind it compared to the elliptical that you absolutely hate and you're going to constantly have resistance towards, well, let's do the thing that's going to promote a little bit more engagement in the process, right? Now, there comes a point that we can't just keep gravitating to the thing that we love. So that's where people get in trouble. Well, and we'll get into the next point, is where we do the same thing over and over because, well, I love doing the treadmill for 30 minutes at 4 miles per hour. And I like doing that because I know how it feels and it's easy and comfortable. Okay, I get that, but your results are going to be shit because your body adapts really well. So we also need to have that awareness tied into it. But that's just an example of, like, yes, we have to put in work with to challenge the status quo a little bit, but definitely try to direct yourself towards things that you enjoy doing to a certain degree if you have the option, right? If there was no other option, if you have, the only thing was I could only, you know, do the treadmill because I like it, but it doesn't give you good results, well, then you'd have to just, you know, deal with it, grow up, and do something different. But that's not the case. We can hack the treadmill, and you manipulate what you do on the treadmill to get better results, and that's where you can change things up. So in this particular case, it's a good opportunity for us to find out when we feel best, what we enjoy doing the most, that also elicits a good physiological adaptation, right? So there's that fine balance in between of getting the result we want and enjoying what we want. Okay, guys, number two, engage in new spaces, okay? So, and basically what I mean by that is challenge the status quo. In new spaces, I look at environments. So many people do the same thing over and over and over, okay? Now, you might find this counterintuitive because you're like, well, this allows me to stay consistent. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. I'm at least going to the gym and I'm staying consistent. That's great and all, but let's also look at it from a bigger picture and talk about, we want to get stronger. We want to improve our body, right? We want to increase range of motion. We want to build more lean muscle mass. We want to build a more resilient, durable body. The body is basically in maintenance mode if you keep doing the same thing over and over. So we're kind of in homeostasis. The problem with that is not only do we not elicit any real physiological adaptations, favorable adaptations that we're looking for, our body slowly becomes less efficient, right? We don't have the same hormonal profile like a 16 or 23-year-old as we do at 45 and 50. So if our muscles and body starts kind of regressing on us, we need to give it something new. That way the body adapts in a positive manner, right? So we have to get a little bit more creative and stop doing the same thing over and over and over. Now, in my argument standpoint here, I feel like engaging in new spaces keeps excitement high. Yes, initially, there's a little bit of resistance because we're going outside our comfort zone. I get that. But trust me, if you go outside your comfort zone just a little bit, right, and you engage in something new, you challenge the status quo, you challenge your body in a new way with a new modality, you're going to get better results. Now, with those better results, are you more likely to stay consistent? Absolutely. You can't tell me if you get better results in a new environment, you're not going to be more consistent. Yes, the first week might be a little uncomfortable. It might make you want to be a little bit more inconsistent, but we're not playing the short-term game here. We're playing the long-term game. So we have to have the awareness that even though we're going to go outside our comfort zone today, and maybe for the next week or two, we're going to kind of have to, you know, dip our toe in the water and get used to this new modality of style of training, in the long haul, it's going to keep us more consistent. We are going to hack the environment to stay more consistent in the long term. Because I'm not looking for someone to be in a gym for 6 months or a year and stay consistent. I'm talking about a lifetime. So we want to engage in new spaces and new workout modalities. That way we have better results. We're more engaged with the process. We're doing this internal and external educational process where we're learning something new. So there's a greater learning curve, which is really good for the mind. It's really good for the body. You're going to see some really good results from that. And like I said, it's exciting. You know, you get into a changed environment. So there's this, again, this awareness piece of going back to that quite a few times now, that we have to have the awareness that maybe in the short term, it's not the most comfortable thing for us. However, in the long term, it's going to really allow us to be more consistent, to be more engaged with what we're actually trying to achieve here. And will promote us being in this space for a much longer time. And not only from a much longer time, but with really good results. We're going to achieve the results we want, which at the end of the day, that's why we go to the gym, right? We want to see good results. We want to see that return on investment. Of course, we want to focus and get the benefit out of feeling good and having those neurotransmitters released and all those feel-good hormones that come along with working out. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that, hey, the work we're putting in, we are seeing a physical progression, right? We're either losing weight or we're burning body fat or we're getting stronger or improving our posture or we're building lean muscle tissue or improving metabolic function, all those kind of things we would love to see occur with us investing time in the gym. So this is an opportunity for us to also understand that doing the same thing over and over and over, although it keeps us consistent to a certain degree, it's more than likely going to get us outside of the realm of showing up on a consistent basis because results are going to dramatically halt and you're going to be in this yo-yo kind of range where you get some results because, you know, your space promotes this challenge or, you know, you're on a certain diet. So it's not that exercise that's really helping you. It's just a changed lifestyle that's helping you. So we want to make sure that the exercise you're doing, the type of training you're doing, is the thing that's really affecting your body, and not that you have to completely manipulate your nutrition and go into this massive restriction of calories just to think that the exercise is helping you out. And again, throughout the year, you should be having different modalities and training blocks because you're probably not chasing fat loss year long, nor should you. And you're probably working on, you should be working on at least in a phasing model, you know, opportunity to get stronger, times to build some muscle, time to cut down a little bit, get a little bit more body fat reduced, maybe during the summertime, that kind of thing. So that in itself would promote switching it up. And if your coach isn't doing it or your group isn't doing it or your community is not doing it, well, then you got to find a community that is doing that. Okay, guys, number three here, we're looking on focus on how exercise and working out makes you feel. This is probably the biggest one. Obviously, these points are not in any particular order, but if I were to put in order, this would probably be the main one in terms of hacking your fitness environment to stay consistent, because getting results from a physical standpoint, like I said, building muscle, burning body fat, losing weight the right way, it takes time. There's a lot of patience involved. It's not always easy to see. It can be very demotivating because we're chasing this picturesque idea that might not get achieved for a little while because the approach we're taking is more built around sustainability and longevity and not based around, let's just get a whole bunch of weight off the body and change how this person looks next week. And that good, if a coach, good coach, you know, directs you that way, that's fantastic. But for a lot of clients, there's a lot of resistance towards that because they are looking for that physical transformation. Because guess what? Their friend Susie down the road just did Beachbody for 30 days and they dropped 15 pounds and they look like their best self ever. Now, what you don't see is what's happening on the inside of that person. You're not seeing that they're going to yo-yo most likely. You're not seeing that they've lost a lot of muscle mass, that they're restricting their calories to 1,200 to 1,000 calories. So you're not seeing what's really going into that process. So when you compare yourself in that physical sense and you're always chasing a little bit more muscle or a little bit more reduced body fat, you're really likely, well, you're highly likely, that's better English there, you're highly likely to stay inconsistent. Right, to be that person that goes on and off and on and off and on and off because you're constantly reminding yourself that this process is taking way too long and it's never going to work for me, right? We have this like fixed mindset that this is never going to get improved. Well, guess what? Your body might work differently than other people's body. And yes, it might take more time, especially doing it the right way. It's going to take more time. So the better approach compared to always focusing on the scale or focusing on your body or focusing on the external, focus on the internal. How does working out and exercise make you feel? The research and studies are there. We know there's a direct correlation of exercise and mental health or improved mental health. So this is without debate something that we can accept full-heartedly, right? We know that exercise and working out is going to improve your mood. It is going to reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety and thoughts and feelings that are more garnered towards the negative, right? We know that. So after you exercise, after you work out, take time to really digest how your body feels. Notice the energy improvement. Notice how your mood is boosted, how you're more creative, how you're more productive, how you're more engaged with people, how you're more social, right? How you're more stimulated, more fulfilled, how you sleep better, how you make better choices, how you make less impulsive choices, right? Be aware of this because if you ever stop working out, you certainly didn't take the time to think about how exercise makes you feel. Because if you did, you wouldn't stop it. I've done this game for, I'm 31. I've probably worked out since I was 14. Grade 9, I was in the gym and I was getting after it, right? So let's just go 17 years. And at this point, yeah, I love looking strong. I love putting on muscle and, you know, I love improving my, you know, performance capabilities. But the biggest reason I go to the gym is how it makes me feel. Like it really adds a ton of fulfillment to my life. The days that I miss the gym, I know my body's not just breaking down and regressing. I understand that, right? But those days is not the physical side effects that are bothering me. It's like, oh man, like mentally I don't feel as engaged, or I don't feel as happy, or I don't feel as satisfied. That's what bothers me the most when I miss exercise or miss working out, is that I really just love the ritual of going to the gym, moving my body, you know, enhancing circulation and blood flow and oxygen to the muscles in the brain, you know, feeling flexible, feeling mobile, feeling strong. When I leave the gym, I'm always in a much better state than I was going into the gym. And I'm usually my most creative, productive self for like 2 to 4 hours after that. And my mind's working in a much more beneficial, productive manner. So we need to start really focusing on how exercise makes us feel. And again, I've had clients that have done really well for 3 to 4 months and all of a sudden, you know, they're not getting the result they want and they want to take a break and they stop working out completely. And I go, man, like I get, like the physical's going to get there. Your body is improving. You are getting stronger. Everything's going in the right direction. And even if it's not, even if life is super stressful and you're not getting the right sleep and you're not making healthy decisions and your body looks like it's regressing, guess what? Your mind isn't, by working out at least. So we need to have this wherewithal to be like, yes, the mind and body connection is so important. And even if the body isn't necessarily enhancing at the degree that we want to see it, know that there are a lot of good things happening in the mind right now. You know, my stress is better. Stress management is better. My sleep is better. Hopefully, my ability to wake up with purpose is better. Like, there's so many things attached to it. So we really need to do a better job. And this is one of the easiest ways to stay consistent, is just focusing on the mindset, focusing on how working out makes you feel mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and getting away from the physical to a certain degree. Yes, like I said, you really want to enhance your physical. Okay, well, you're going to have to dive in and really make a discerned effort to learn how to do this the right way. But worst case scenario, always go back when you have those moments that you feel like you're not getting a massive return on investment. You know, do your due diligence to find how to outsource that, but also have the awareness to go, I don't want to stop because it is making me feel so good. Okay, guys, number four, look at food as fuel for better performance. Now, the reason I wanted to highlight this so much is when I have nutrition clients, we're always going through the you're not eating enough conversation. For most people, right? They're either overindulging the crappy stuff and they have, you know, bad habits of impulse in the weekends and they're eating pizza and they're not meal prepping and they're basically just going with the flow of the day, which is never a wise move, because we know how the flow of the day can really take us and basically drown us into making really poor decisions. So that's a problem. But we also demonize food because of that. Well, I've gained all this weight because I eat a lot of food. Yeah, obviously you've made some poor decisions to gain all that weight, and you know your lifestyle needs to change because there is that law of thermodynamics of calories in versus calories out, but it's more complicated than that. It's not just, calories aren't just created equally. Now, if someone were to eat 1,500 calories with a really bad diet compared to a really good diet, yes, it's still 1,500 calories. I get that, right? But there is going to be greater fat storage. There is going to be greater influence on insulin sensitivity and resistance based on what you eat. It's going to make a massive difference in how your body feels and how it performs, how it mentally performs. So we need to understand that. And there's a far greater likelihood when we eat processed foods that we are going to consume. There's a study that was built around this compared to those two groups of people that were eating just, you know, with no real structure, that the processed food group would eat about 500 calories more on average daily. That's an incredibly high amount when we think about over a total week span, that's 3,500 calories, which, you know, a lot of studies would promote that as 1 pound of weight gain. So imagine that over the course of a year, that could be an extra 36 pounds by just eating processed foods and having that temptation to eat more. And that's what crappy food does to us. It creates cravings. It messes up our hormones a little bit. It creates this nature to eat highly palpable foods, which obviously would direct us to overeating, right, and overconsuming. So this is where we really need to start looking at food as fuel, right? How does the food we eat make us feel? Does it give us long-lasting energy? Does it give us mental clarity? Does it enhance our performance in the gym? Am I stronger? Do I have greater pumps in the gym? I just listened to a podcast about this in terms of using carbohydrates and using water to enhance your pump. And if you don't know what your pump is, think about your muscles filling up, right, with fluid and your muscles looking really full and big. That's motivating in the gym. That's a lot of people chase the pump when they're in the gym, right? They really want to have their muscles feel full. They want to have this big glute pump and have, you know, fill up their pants or fill up their t-shirts. So it's a really satisfying feeling, right? And food would actually enhance that. Me going in on a low carbohydrate diet, I'm going to look flatter in the gym. I'm going to look weaker, smaller, and there's going to be a direct correlation towards how much weight I can move or how much energy I have. So it's actually going to negatively affect my performance in the gym. So I need to look at food before I go into the gym as fuel. This is actually going to enhance what I am trying to achieve. If I have food in my system that allows me to perform better, I'm going to lift heavier weights. I'm going to be more engaged. I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to be able to produce more volume with the workout. I'm probably going to add a couple reps, a couple sets, lift heavier, want to be there. All those things are massive opportunities to create a huge signal for muscle growth, right? The more weight we lift, the more volume. Now, there is this part of diminishing returns. We can't just, you know, work out for 6 hours a day and be like, well, more volume, more weight equals better results. No, there's obviously that recovery process. But traditionally speaking, if I work out for an hour and I'm lifting more weight than I would have on with low amount of energy, i.e. food, well, that's not good, right? So, and we need to look at food after we work out as fuel, right? Fuel to grow, fuel to repair, fuel to regenerate, fuel to energize a system, fuel to give us a faster ability to enhance our recovery and attack the workout tomorrow. So we actually have an alleviation of muscle soreness and fatigue. So this is where I want people to look at food. Like, I don't want you to demonize and victimize food as the problem for why you're out of shape or why you're storing all this fat. No, it's the type of food, right? If you eat poor food, i.e. food that is nutrient deficient, high in calories, highly processed, spikes your insulin, that isn't fueling better performance. That is negatively impacting your performance. And you can expect cravings. You can expect fat storage. You can expect weight gain. You can expect lethargy. You can expect poor sleep quality. You can expect higher stress. You can expect higher degrees of depression and anxiety and sadness. So when we look at food that way, we're far more likely to stop making poor choices, because it's not just about the weight gain. It's not just about how our body looks in a mirror. It is how it affects us on an overall basis, right? How it affects every aspect of our life and how this one thing is going to elicit a certain choice, and that choice is going to promote another choice, and that choice is going to promote another choice. And before you know it, one poor decision negatively affected three or four other ones, right? Prime example, let's just say we overindulge on a party on Saturday night and we just crush a whole bunch of pizza and we drink beer. Well, most likely that's going to inhibit logical decision making. So we're probably going to stay up later, probably make even worse choices. We're probably going to, you know, have more cravings for salty or sugary foods. We're going to sleep in, so we're going to be behind on the day. We're going to feel like crap in the morning, so we're probably going to skip our workout, skip meal prepping. You know, we're going to feel tired. We're going to feel fatigued. We're going to feel beat up, and this is probably going to transfer over to not doing the things we need to do on the Sunday to set us up for success on the Monday. So then we fall behind on the Monday. We're more impulsive. We're less motivated. We have less energy to do the things that are actually going to build momentum in our life. So you can see how one decision leads to two to three to four bad decisions. And before you know it, you're really behind the eight ball. And now you're in a really tough position where you feel like the day and the week is getting away from you. So we need to redirect how we look at food. Good food is rarely the problem. It's really tough and difficult to overconsume high quality, nutrient dense foods. Like, good luck overindulging on chicken breasts and lean beef and fish and rice and potatoes and greens and olive oil and coconut oil and whey protein powder. Like, good luck doing that, right? Good luck eating 3,500 calories with that kind of diet. Or oats, for example, right? Like, those are very satiating foods that are full of fiber, full of nutrients to give your body what it needs and to keep it very satiated and full. So we need to redirect how we look at food. And when we do that, you'll notice that it becomes way more, way easier to stay consistent with this process, because we're so focused on the feel compared to just the result. Almost going back to, you know, focus on how working out makes us feel emotionally and mentally compared to the external result we get. Very similar look at how we look at food, right? And this is going to help big time, because all these areas of our life are going to improve, and we're going to look at food as a tool rather than something that is contributing to these negative aspects of our life, okay? Number five, we are going to do something active every single day, okay? So when you look at Brandon Rinka 365, I know I've clarified this before on previous podcast episodes, but the 365 is basically my way of highlighting getting after it every day of the year. And that doesn't mean getting after it like go hard or go home, or, you know, leave yourself drained and challenge your body every single day to new standards. No. What I mean by Brandon Rinka 365 is go out and chase betterment, pursue betterment every single day. That's how my whole 365-day challenge started, right? I did this massive 12-month, 365-day project where I had 12 different disciplines and forms of exercise I was going to do, one a month, every day of that month, and I was going to track my progress and do, you know, some incredible things that year. And I was able to experience a whole new side of fitness. And I was, 1 month I was powerlifting, then I was kickboxing, then I was doing jujitsu, and I was doing yoga, and I was doing ultra marathons, I was doing triathlons, I was doing half Ironmans, I was swimming, and I did it every day of the year for 365 days. Every workout tracked, every exact thing tracked. You go to my website, you can actually find that, right? And it was one of those things that it promoted the idea of treating my body appropriately, treating my body the way someone who loves their body should treat it, right? I didn't abuse my body. I didn't beat the crap out of my body. I didn't feed it negative, you know, vices. You know, it allowed me to just focus on getting my body in a stronger, more resilient place. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I wanted to promote to other people, is that every day is an opportunity to make poor choices or make choices that actually strengthen who you are internally. So if we engage in this process of being active every single day, and again, that can look as simple as getting out and getting your steps in, to as challenging as I'm going to, you know, chase a one rep max today. That would be the two kind of spectrums, right? Are we just, you know, doing it passively? Are we doing yoga? Are we experiencing a mobility class? Are we going for a swim? Are we hiking? Are we working out? Are we playing a sport? Like, what are we doing? Every single day we need to be active. And the big reason behind this is that those little things add up. You see it, right? If you haven't seen someone for a year and all of a sudden they've dropped 30 pounds, it's usually more directed towards small, healthier choices. Oh yeah, I just stopped eating processed foods. I stopped eating out as much. I started walking every single day. You know, I stopped overindulging in sugary type foods. So I stopped buying desserts in the house. Like, simple things that are absolutely game changing. Like, those are the things. Those are the people that see these amazing results. They're not the people that, well, for the last 2 months, I cut out every single thing that I hated and I started working out 6-7 days a week. Like, those people rebound. So the person who just does the small things every single day, like staying active, and they make this a habit, they put this into the routine as this ritual of sorts, those are the people that stay consistent, because it's not overwhelming, right? It's not daunting. It isn't something that is asking you to sacrifice and give up too much. It's simply asking you to treat your body in a favorable manner every single day. Make better decisions. Get out in nature. Increase circulation. Get blood to the muscle. Right? Improve your body's range of motion. Pursue getting stronger today. Pursue getting more conditioned and fitter. Go for a run. Go for a bike ride. Like, do something that is getting you in this space of, hey, every day I'm taking care of my body physically. Every single day I'm doing something that is bettering my body's performance. Increasing my body's performance, right? Simple, simple, life-changing stuff. That way you're going to see amazing results. It's not going to feel like you're giving up a whole bunch of who you are or who you want to be to pursue this unrealistic, unattainable result. It's simply feeling better with how your body performs, and with that, getting amazing results. And I'm telling you right now, the person that just does this day after day, to a some degree, some small degree, you will have life-changing results and you will feel better. You will feel amazing. You'll notice performance increases in all aspects of your life. You're more productive at work. You have a higher libido or increased libido. Your hormone profile is improved. You have more energy. You're less tired. You sleep better. You make better choices. So get in the habit of doing something active every single day, not every third day, every second day, every single day, right? Do something that is actually helping your body perform and feel better. Finally, guys, join a community of like-minded, helpful people. And this was a big reason I created the BR365 Strength Squad. It's an online community that has a host of industry experts and professionals there to guide our community members. That's kind of the big feature of what we offer, right? Is daily accountability. We have this unique strength challenge every month where we engage in this small bout of like 3 to 5 minutes of exercise, focus on one particular area. This month, for example, we're focusing on strengthening our core connection. And this environment, this community is just, the way I see it, is just so life-altering, right? It's giving somebody information on the daily. It's having a slew of professionals engage with our community members so they feel like they're really getting amazing information from a wide resource, from naturopaths to personal trainers to mobility specialists to physios to chiros to, you know, people that own clinics and their sport performance therapists. And again, what this does, it creates this network of people where we can all kind of ask each other questions. We can answer questions. We can give people insight and tools and practices and reminders to help them stay more consistent. And usually that alone is what really makes the difference, is when somebody's just hearing a reiterated message over and over and over. Now, it can be delivered in many different ways, but the message is very clear. Hey guys, we're focusing on getting the body stronger, more resilient, and empowering how your body feels, right? Empowering yourself. And whatever we post, whatever we put out there, it is based around those three principles. And over time, you get consumed. Your subconscious literally gets programmed by this kind of information. And before you know it, you're making choices habitually, right? It becomes one of those things that it's just routine. We don't have to think much about. We get the daily email, or we engage in the Facebook page, and we just, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Like I'm hearing it over and over. And sometimes it takes time, takes months, could take a year. I don't know, right? Everyone's different depending on how much they engage and how much they really consume the content. But that's just an example, right? And it doesn't have to be the BR365 Strength Squad. Do I think it's a phenomenal tool? Absolutely. It's why I created it. I'm not going to put my name on something I'm not proud of, nor think it won't provide a massive amount of value. But whatever that looks like, and that's where gyms come in as well, right? Join a community of like-minded people that are showing up to better themselves, to get in better shape, to alleviate stress and tension in their body. Right. And it's just this environment. And that's why I used to love working in a gym. It's one of the main perks, right? Because there's this massive increased surge of energy when you walk into a gym, right? People they're done work for the day. They know they're going to be doing something that's going to stimulate all these feel good hormones, and they're going to, you know, look their best that day right there. And in that hour, they're obviously going to leave the gym fuller and stronger than they've been all day long, with better posture. So naturally they feel really good about themselves and their body image, and mentally they're communicating with their peers, or, you know, seeing people that they know, or talking to the staff. And it's one of those things that dynamic is just so powerful that you don't want to miss a day. You don't want to skip out on the gym, because it provides so much more value than just improving how your body performs. It's the mental, it's the emotional connection that you're getting. And for me, like that, it's the social as well. There's so many aspects that get checked off the box we check the box off, when we go to the gym and we engage in a community of like-minded people, and we're going away from the negative. We're going away from the naysayers. We're going away from why we can't or shouldn't, or, you know, all the stuff that doesn't really help us make better decisions or improve our life. So joining the community of like-minded people is basically a no-brainer. I've always been involved to a certain degree. Obviously, I've been going to gyms my whole life. So in high school, it was my football team and the camaraderie I had with the players there and the coaches. And then, you know, I would join a gym and I had a great relationship with a ton of the gym goers there as well. Still have remained a lot of those connections today. Obviously, then becoming a coach at multiple different locations and gyms, or a consultant, you know, having a relationship with people in the gym and showing up. I never really had a bad day going into work or working out because I knew that the energy was going to be so positive and contagious. And it's one of those things that if you're not part of a community in person, I know obviously with COVID it's a little bit different, but guess what? COVID's kind of going away now, guys. So stop fucking worrying and get after it again, right? Get out in the public. It's just really nice to be part of that community. And, you know, when you leave the house and you leave the gym, that you leave feeling better, you leave feeling more connected, you leave feeling like you have a greater tool set to be more successful, and that you have resources to help you in this process, because this process can be lonely sometimes, and it's nice to have other people really helping you out and pushing you towards your goals. So there you guys have it. Those are my 6 fitness hacks to stay consistent. Like I said, there's always ways to navigate these a little bit differently, you know, for each person. But in the grand scheme, if you just kind of focus on what we talked about today, I'm sure if you apply 1, if not 2, 3, 4, 5, or all 6 of them, you are surely going to stay way more consistent towards your pursuit of a stronger, more fit body and a healthy mind. All right, guys, thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. We will see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.